Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 307, The Strength in Yielding. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, March 19th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I felt it. Praise God. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Praise the Lord. All right. A little warning, I'm in a special mood today, so praise God. I don't buckle up. We'll see what the Holy Spirit has for us. We're going to laugh today. It's a good day. It's a good day to be alive. It's a good day to worship Jesus. It's a good day. It's a good day. Okay. I wanted to start with some jokes because it's okay. Rivka got, I gave Rivka a little preview of the jokes because sometimes she has a hard time with, you know, when you speak, when you have a second language and you're hearing jokes, it's difficult to understand them. So I sympathize with her because so many times in Argentina, you know, everyone's shouting around the table and all this is going on and somebody's saying a joke over everything else and everyone's laughing and you pretend to laugh, you pretend that you get it, but you have no idea why that joke is funny and why you're supposed to be laughing. So I filled her in on some of those. So she's going to be the first one to laugh today. So these are, maybe you've seen some of these written, you know, in emails going around forward when those forward emails were really popular. These are things, funny things that were written in church bulletins, like announcements and things like that. Not trying to be funny, but it's funny. So let's see, where do I start? So, ladies, this was on a church bulletin. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of all those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Sorry, I had to start. Sorry, I started with that one. Oh, man, we went in deep fast, didn't we? Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. Oh my goodness, are we having fun yet? It's okay to have fun in church. Praise the Lord. The church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility. Had a little typo error there. It's supposed to be hospitality and hostility, you know. That's not good. Potluck supper, Sunday at 5 p.m., prayer and medication to follow. Well, let's see. Do you want one more? We'll do one more. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Wow, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These churches need a good editor, a good secretary, somebody that picks up on errors. And yeah, praise God. That's good, right? We start with laughter today. Okay. Praise God. Now what? All right, let's go ahead and put up the picture that I gave you guys. These guys do an awesome job back there. We give them videos, pictures. We say, put up this, do this, share this, and they are on it. So praise the Lord for our service team. Thankful for them. The live stream guy is pretty handsome, too. But he's mine, so. Anyways, so we have, I told you, I don't know about today. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit is he's a God of joy. He is a God of joy, and he wants us to laugh with him. So here's a sign here. You know, Aaliyah talked about a sign. She said, you know, if you need a, if you needed a sign, she gave us a sign. But I was thinking, if you need another sign, here's another sign, like a sign. This is a sign. And this, she touched on this without using this word, kind of what she was talking about and the things that we wrote on the paper to give over to the Lord. We're yielding. This is yield. Have you ever seen one of these traffic signs? Yeah. Do you obey it? You know, all these new roundabouts that we have along here, along Bass Road. It's probably a good idea to follow the sign, right? It's probably a good idea when you come into an intersection to yield, especially if, you know, I mean, that's just what you're supposed to do, but especially if there's another car coming, right? Because you're going to have a problem if you don't yield the sign, if you don't obey the sign, right? Yielding at a roundabout or yielding at an intersection prevents us from going straight through into a collision. And it's the same way with us yielding to God. When God and the Spirit of the Lord prompts us and gently gives us a push or a nudge, it's so that we can avoid a collision. Because if we obey Him, there will be blessing in that. Amen? So today we're talking about yielding. The strength in yielding is the title of the message. So the definition of yielding is to surrender or submit oneself to another. And in the sign of the, in the case of traffic sign, you know, to give way to another, right? To a car in that case. The nature of the Holy Spirit is such a good one. He's such a gentleman. He leads, he directs, he gives a gentle push, at least with me. I've heard Pastor Harley say and Pastor Karen say that the difference in the way that the Lord leads them and speaks to them, that, you know, Pastor Harley has said, you know, wow, the way that the Holy Spirit leads Pastor Karen seems so gentle. Like, he gives me a, you know, a kick in the behind, or, you know, just it's a little more forceful, a little more firm. And maybe that differs a little bit from our personalities and knows that we need and what we can handle and how he knows how to move each of us along, right? But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he is the advocate. He is the parakletos, the one that's called to come alongside of us. Have you ever thought about the calling of the Holy Spirit? Like, we talk about the calling on our lives, but the calling of the Holy Spirit is to come alongside of you. He's your biggest fan. Right? And to steer you into all truth, to point you in the direction of Jesus. And so he never forces, even if he talks, like to Pastor Harley, forceful, or even if he gives you, like, it's more a firm command, like, do this. He never is going to force you to do it. It's your choice, right? And we'll talk about what forcing is. That's something different. And today we're going to talk about, like, the difference. We need. It's important for us to know who's prompting me, what's prompting me, and therefore who or what it is. Do I yield or do I resist? Right? Because you want to yield to the right thing and you want to resist the right thing, because he wants us to walk into victory, right? Victory over the evil one, the defeated one. We have to occupy until he comes, right? And so we need to resist the devil. I'm getting ahead of my message. And we need to yield to God, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at some scripture examples of yielding. Where in the Bible, you know, does it talk about yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to the promptings of the Lord? There's so many places. I just picked a few. I mean, you could do a massive study on that. I mean, the whole Bible is filled with people hearing the call of God, the push of God, not the push, but the prompting, the leading of the Holy Spirit in obeying it, right? Or not obeying it. Like we talked about a few weeks ago when we did, talked about obedience, right? Obeying and not obeying. So Luke 2:25, do you have your Bibles today? Yes. Word of God or your smart device. I hope it's smart. If not, this one is even smarter. This is smarter than any of this stuff. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Luke 2, 25 to 27. This is when Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to be dedicated at the temple in Jerusalem after he was born. So it says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He's been waiting for this, praying and believing and waiting because the Lord spoke to him and revealed to him that you will see the Messiah before you die. Wow. Okay, so verse 27. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. The Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, and it goes on, he prophesied then that Jesus would be the Savior of the world, right? Wow, that's really incredible. The Lord had spoken, had given him revelation in his heart, a promise to this devout and righteous man, Simeon, that you will see the Messiah before you die. And so he had spoken that. He made the promise. God is a man of his word, not a man that he should lie, right? And so that verse 27, it says, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So the Spirit of the Lord, you know, set up that divine encounter because he said, Simeon is waiting for my promise and I know how to get him there. He led him, he prompted him, he gently urged him to go. So he got a, you know, like, I guess I think I need to go to the temple today. He's leading me to go there. So then, you know, divine encounter, the Spirit of the living God gives Simeon this direction, this urge, this leading to get there into the temple. Meanwhile, here come Mary and Joseph with baby Jesus. Wow, divine encounter, right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does, right? He pushes, he knows the destiny that he has for you, words that he's spoken to you. So when he gives you a little nudge, just like Aaliyah said, even if it seems like a really small thing, do it. Yield to it. You go in that direction because he's lining you up, whether it's the big get the end of the whole promise or it's going to lead you step by step by step. You don't know what little thing that he tells you to do, what that's going to open, the doors after that's going to open, right? So it's important to yield. So Simeon yielded. He got there. I love that verse 28. It says Simeon was there. He got there. He got the Holy Spirit memo, and he showed up where the Holy Spirit prompted him. He was there, right? And then he got to take the child, Jesus, in his arms and prophesy over him. Amazing. Can you imagine this man's heart? I mean, how many years? I don't know if it says how many years that he was waiting and believing for this promise. And that was the moment that the Holy Spirit had prepared and gotten him to that place so that that could happen. Praise the Lord. Awesome. So the Lord will lead and guide you into your destiny, but it takes each step at a time, one by one by one, listening to him and yielding that way and the way he's leading you to go. He is the expert, divine counter-setter-upper. Right? He knows how to set up your divine counters. He knows how to get you into the destiny that he's, you know, and the promise that he's spoken to you. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching myself even happier today. This is good news. Really good news. This is encouraging. All right, let's look at another one. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Say what? Yep. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry.
Wait, Pastor Sarah. This isn't as happy as the last one. Well, we trust you, Holy Spirit. We trust you, Lord. Sometimes we're in a season that feels like the wilderness. Sometimes he has to lead us to the wilderness because there's things that he's teaching us, that he's strengthening in us, that he's building in us. So that was, you know, when then Jesus was fasting and he faced the temptation of the devil and he fought and overcame those three temptations of the devil, right? By the word, he used the word to resist. That's a little clue. Use the word to resist the devil when he's tempting you, when he's trying to lead you in a different direction. But it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Just very interesting. Allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish, if you find yourself in a wilderness, allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he wants to do, to strengthen you. Listen to his voice when you're in the wilderness season or a waiting season, because he will lead you right out, and you will come out of that and go, wow, I am stronger. It wasn't fun, maybe. It wasn't pretty, but I am stronger on the other side of that. Amen? Amen. Can somebody testify to that? On the other side of your wilderness season? Praise the Lord. Okay. He leads us. Another one, Acts 20, verse 22. This is Paul speaking. It says, and now, are you there? Acts 20, 22. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So in that first part that we read, verse 22, it says, I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. In the NIV says, I am compelled by the Spirit. So that's another sort of synonym or another description when we talk about being prompted or led by the Holy Spirit. It's like a compulsion, like this being compelled. He was compelled by the Spirit, right? There was a significant calling on Paul's life to, it says what he wrote here, what he identified as his work, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. What an incredible missionary that the Lord raised up in Paul, right? And he step by step led him, and he had to get to that place. Like it says, he was compelled by the Spirit. Sometimes you will feel that, that maybe that's stronger. To me, that word compelled feels stronger than just like a nudge or a push. Like, I'm just like already there. Like, I'm already being attracted that way, pushed along in that way. I'm compelled by the Spirit. And praise the Lord that Paul was yielded to the Holy Spirit. He was tuned in. So there's another clue. We've got to be tuned in. We've got to be on the same frequency as the Holy Spirit, or lest we miss it, right? If you're on a different channel and you're on the channel of, I don't know, as the world turns or something, has the stomach turned, some soap opera channel, but they're giving some important news information that you need for your assignment on a different channel, but you're watching as the stomach turns, you're going to miss it. Right? Do you get this? You got to be on the wavelength of the Holy Spirit, right? Don't watch as the stomach turns. You know, that's just a joke. You can laugh. It's all right. Praise God. Okay. So it's important who, like we said, who and what, or who, yeah, who or what you yield to. yield to the Holy Spirit if you want to grow and you want to mature, right? He will do it in you. He will grow you up. Holy Spirit isn't the one that just produces little goose pimples and woo, what's that old time when they would do the Holy Ghost fire dance or whatever, you know, what's that called? I don't know. Anyways, I'm getting silly, but you know, what I'm trying to say is the Holy Ghost isn't just for giving you a sensation of a good feeling on church and Sunday, but he's the one that will go and tell you, go forgive your mother and your father. And that causes maturity. That causes you to face your own stuff, right? That causes you to grow in character. And we need to do that. We all need to grow in character, right? There's no limit to that until we get to his presence, right? Yield to the Holy Spirit for being aligned to your destiny, like we talked about, for like Simeon going to the temple and being there for his destiny, what the Lord had spoken to him. Yield to the Lord to bring God's blessings into your life. Obedience brings blessing. Yielding to God and stepping out when he says step, or when he pushes you or says, you know, like a whisper, even if it's a still small voice or little whisper, there will be blessing in that, that he wants to get something to you. Like, give me the Nintendo and I'll give you, what was it? A huge teddy bear? Yeah, get something much better. Right? His blessings of healing, of freedom, of your walking into your destiny, all these things, he wants to give you that. And he knows how to line you up to get you there. So yield. Okay. You know, we can experience other kinds of promptings that aren't from the Holy Spirit. Say what, Pastor Sarah? Yeah. There's other things that can prompt us, right? The devil, he's the father of lies who came to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we have a choice every day, every minute, who we're going to obey, who we're going to follow the leadings and the nudgings of. But let's not forget about another really important thing that influence on us, because I think the devil gets way too much credit sometimes, and we blame a lot of stuff on the devil that's actually us. Say, it's me. Right? Help us, Jesus. This is why I started with jokes, because now we're getting into the stuff that's like, if you're squirming a little bit, it's okay. It's all right. So sin, right? Oh man, sin can lead us. It can nudge us. We all have these little appetites for things. I'm not talking, well, it could be a physical appetite, like, you know, for something, chocolate. You said it, not me. desires, impulses of the flesh, like a leading this way. And it's not that some of those things are bad, but if the motive of your heart is wrong, because you're using those things to fill you up and fill a void and fill an emptiness, and you're running to those things instead of running to the Lord. Like, social media is not evil, but if you're using social media to get likes and feel affirmation, then hey, there's some sin in there, you know, and you're gonna be led astray, right? So James 1:14-15. This talks about temptation. Ooh, everybody say temptation. Temptation. Look at this verse. Where does it come from? It says, temptation comes from our own desires. This is James 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, temptation comes from our own desires. So you read that right there and you go, oh, I was trying to blame it on the devil. It's telling me that comes from me. That comes from my own desire. Temptation comes from my our own desires, which entice us and drag us away, these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So it's like this vicious cycle, right? The temptation comes from our own appetites, impulses, desires. Like, ooh, that smells good. I'm going to go that way, you know? And it drags you away. It gives birth to sin and sinful actions. And when it's allowed to grow, then it produces death, right? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? The consequence for sin is death, separation from God. It's going to lead us to no good place, sin. So stay away, right? Also talking about the flesh, what you yield to, because you're looking for some instant gratification to feel good for a moment, get a high or, you know, to make yourself feel better, that's a matter of life and death because of what we just talked about. Because the wages, the consequences of sin is death, you giving into that thing is death. You're being separated from God, whether it's one time or a chronic cycle that just keeps getting strengthened in your life, right? This is a serious thing. So let's think about what we're yielding to. What are we giving into? And how do we stop that? How do we stop and get out of that vicious cycle? Jesus! He's got to be the one that we run to fill those needs and those voids. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at Romans 6. This section is really good. If you're struggling, if you're identifying with what I'm talking about, do a study. This is your homework this week then. Do a study there in Romans 6. So let's look at verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Yes. Tell me how. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for what? The glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You no longer live under that because of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Did I finish reading the verse? I don't know. Let's go back to 14 and read it again because this is so good. People are going to get set free today from the word of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Hallelujah. So back up to the where we started, verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Don't let it control you. You have that choice. Get out from under it. Sin is no longer your master. If you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then he's your Lord. You're under the spirit of, how does it say? The spirit of life and, somebody help me. The spirit of life, not the law of sin and death. Yes, there we go. Thank you, Lord. So in King James, Romans 6:13, it says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So the NLT said it, you know, don't let sin control the way you live. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. But if you look at Romans 6, this whole section in King James, it uses the word over and over, yield. It's really awesome. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God. You have a choice what you're going to yield to. Unto sin, and that's going to lead you to where? Death, right? separation from God. Or you can yield yourself unto God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit, to do that. I want to yield to you, but then my flesh just gets over here. No, I yield to you. I declare the blood of Jesus over myself so that I can yield to what I want to yield to, which is the Holy Spirit of God, to be an instrument, give my body to as an instrument of righteousness and be under that, under your blood, to live under the freedom of God's grace at the end, that verse 14. So, once again, yield to God. So how should we respond then to sin and evil and the flesh and those other things that are on the other side that we're talking about? Resist, right? We resist. Resisting is the opposite of yielding. Does that make sense? God's over here, my sin and flesh and the devil's over here. I yield. I'm telling you, this is what you want to do. Choose life, right? Yield to God. Yield to the Holy Spirit over here. Resist. Resist. This is a bottle of whiskey or whatever, and oh, a drink would just be so nice. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to yield my body as a tool to be an instrument of righteousness. Yeah? So resisting means to withstand, to strive against or oppose, to fight against something or someone that is attacking you. So we have yielding, which is resisting and giving way to, submitting, and we have resisting, which is withstanding, right? Get that? That's the cross with the blood of Jesus on it. Fighting against or an opposing, right? So to walk in victory, it's important who and what we yield to and who and what we resist. So further down, drop down in Romans 6 to verses 16 through 18. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? I just love Paul. It's like he's talking to you as a friend. Like, don't you realize? Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you obey? So if I'm obeying the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be a slave to that. I'm going to be under that, you know, under the control. That's the one that's going to have authority over me. But if I'm choosing to obey what my sin wants to lead me off astray, and my sin, my flesh, my appetites, impulses, desires that we talked about, the devil, then that's what is going to have authority over me. I'm going to be a slave to it. Do you want to be a slave to unrighteousness and to the devil and to your flesh or to the Spirit of God? You choose. It's a battle every day that we choose. But we have the Word of God. We have tools. We have the blood of Jesus. We've been set free from the law of sin and death, right? And we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. So we're not under that. I only read the first part. Let's keep going. Don't you realize, Romans 6, 16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, Paul says. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Can somebody say hallelujah? It's a good place to say it, because that's really awesome. So if you're struggling with these things and you're, you know, Holy Spirit's going, yeah, we got to work on this, study this section, meditate on it, get it in your heart. Verse 17, thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. You can put your own name in there. You can put your, you know, me, I, and read that over yourself. Declare that. like verse 18. Now I am free from my slavery to sin, and I have become a slave to righteous living. Put your name in there. Or if you're, you know, praying for, you know, a family or family member or someone, you can pray for them as well. But start with yourself. start with you. All right, so it's your choice to obey and yield to sin and become a slave of sin, which leads to death, or obey and yield to God, and you are a slave to righteous living, which equals life and freedom. Praise God. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. This is Old Testament, right? God's saying, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. This is the key to your... Wait, what? I missed it. What was the key to my life? Back up. Verse 20, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey, it's a conditional. If, did you get that little two-letter word? It's a powerful one. If you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Awesome. We have a choice. It's up to you. He doesn't force you. Like we started and said, you know, saying about the Holy Spirit, that he's a gentleman. He doesn't force you. He doesn't control. He doesn't manipulate. He doesn't press you under his finger. It's your choice. But I love his heart that in verse 19, it says, oh, that you would choose life. Oh, my beloved children, that you would choose life, because he knows how he created you, and he knows that that sin is going to hurt you and lead you to death and lead you to nothing good. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants may live. It's not just you. It's the ones that come after you as well. That'll make you think. So if you want to obey God and you've been having a struggle, if you're sitting there going, yeah, that all sounds great, but I want to obey God. I want to yield. I want to be, you know, have my body be an instrument of righteousness, but I just keep coming back to this thing. I just keep going round in the cycle of temptation that leads to sin, that leads to death, and I'm stuck. Like, I just can't get out of it. If you feel that, like, if you're controlled by an addiction, by sin, by fears, that can be a sign that you are dealing with demonic oppression, right? Jesus came to set you free so that you are free to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to walk in victory. So if you're saying, yeah, that's me, get your behind up here at the altar call, and we want to pray for you. You need deliverance from that thing, from that cycle, because you can get out of it. And sometimes we need some help to get out of that cycle, right? I'm inspired by the movie, the deliverance movie that we saw this week, Come Out in Jesus' Name. So I'm just saying, get yourself up here. There's no shame. We've all had to, you know, get some help from time to time to get free of something. And the most important thing is you meeting, experiencing the life of Jesus that he died on the cross to give you. So don't worry about anyone else. Just you run to Jesus. Run to his cross and get free. Get set free. Because your life will never be the same. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, yielding to God. Yield to God. Resist. What are we resisting? The devil, right? You're opposing that. You're turning away from that. Resisting the devil. Let's have our own selves too, part of this, right? Our flesh, the temptation of sin. all those things. So James 4:7, this is like one of my top five favorite verses. I love this verse. James 4:7-8. So humble yourselves before God. Other versions say submit to God. That's part of yielding, humbling yourself before God, submitting to him. The next part, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's that simple. He will flee. First, you humble yourself or submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Verse 8, come close to God. Don't forget this. Don't just stay with 7. Verse 8 is so good too, and onward. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. He will help you. He will be your helper. Come close to him and seek him. Right? Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And then it goes on. But I want to share just a testimony, and some of you may have heard this story before because it was a landmark day, a stake a flag in the ground kind of day for me in my life when the Lord taught me and walked me through how to live this verse out, James 4:7-8. Nobody else taught me this. Nobody laid hands on me. It was the Holy Spirit. Turn to this, read this. Now do this, and like, okay, now do this, and now do this, each part of the verse here. So I was having a series of like reoccurring, they were nightmares. They were tormenting dreams about guilt, about some decisions and things that I had decided and done that affected other people. And it was like, I was not released in these dreams, and it was like guilt, and you're going to pay for this, and it was just terrible. It was shame and condemnation and guilt, and who does that smell like? The devil. Those dreams, if you're having dreams like that, don't wake up and say, God's speaking to me. No, I mean, you can discern. Maybe it's God giving you a warning, but in this case, tormenting dreams, time after time, there was a series of them, and each one like got increasingly like my punishment for the guilt that was being heaped on me. And it was like, I was just like, after the third time, like, oh my gosh, this has to stop. Like, this is crazy. And I think I was praying, and God led me to this verse, James 4:7-8. Okay, so what do I do, God? He says, submit to me. Okay, what does that look like in this situation? Submit to me. Okay, God, I give you my heart. I ask your forgiveness once again for any role in the decisions that I made. If I hurt this other person, God, I submit to you. I ask your forgiveness. I bless that person. Submit yourself to him. Like, you're humbling yourself. You're realigning yourself to his word. So show me, Lord, if there's something, like, I feel like I've forgiven this person, but maybe I need to go deeper in that. I release forgiveness again. And, you know, whatever the Lord shows you. And like, I was just saying all this out, like, just cover the bases, because these dreams have to die. These dreams have to stop. I'm not going to be tormented anymore. I'm not going to sleep with the frogs one more night. Like, they have to stop, right? And so, and the Holy Spirit wanted me to get free from these dreams. And so he was showing me, instructing me how to get free from this. So I did that. So it was like, I'm praying this out. I say, I forgive this person again. And I show me, God, if there's something else I need to do, if I need to like reach out to them, if I need to, I'm willing to do whatever, right? When you're that desperate, you know, when something's like pushing on you, when there's oppression pushing on you, you will be, when you get to that point, tell me whatever it is, God. I submit to you. I humble myself to you, right? Have you been there? Okay. And so then it was like, okay, you did that. Check, move on. And he's like, okay, now read the second part. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do I do? Resist the devil. Okay, I think I know how to do that. And this had been just maybe a few months that I was coming here. So I was getting some teaching about the spiritual warfare and, you know, be tough and resist the devil. And so I began to do that. And I closed the door and like, so I'm just me and God. And I just went at it. I resist you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You have to stop all tormenting spirits. Devil, you heard me. I'm submitted to God. I ask forgiveness. I bless that person. You know, there's no offensive way in me, so you must go. Like, that's what resisting means. Not, oh, kumbaya, Jesus loves me and he'll help me. And yeah, it's true. Jesus loves you and he'll help you. Resist the devil. Just resist him. Don't mess with me, devil! I'm going to have sweet, peaceful sleep. You're not going to torment my dreams. The Spirit of God is going to minister to me while I sleep and while I'm awake and coming and going, right? So, devil, back off. And I don't mean maybe, like Pastor Harley says. And don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's what resisting the devil is. So can you do that? Like, get tough. If you're dealing with something, let's say it's a headache, resist the devil. But first, don't forget submitting yourself to God. God, you know, it's important, the order. There's a reason, the order of the way this is written. You don't have authority so much to resist the devil if you're not submitted to God and you're doing things your own way and you could be entertaining sin, so you don't have authority to resist the devil. Does that make sense? So that's why submit to God comes first. You're submitted to him. There's no open door. You're closing all the open doors. God, show me if there's anything that I need to deal with to align myself to you. Is this helping? Is this all right? Okay. Woo, spirit of preach. How are we doing on time? Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, boy. Okay. So then what happens? You resist. After that, what happens after you resist? He flees. That's the best part. That's the reward. He leaves. Ha ha, you're gone. You're out of here. The torment left. After I did that, no more tormenting dreams. No more dreams about guilt and all this stuff. Praise the Lord. The word works. So everybody say, I submit myself to God. I resist the devil. And he will flee. Hallelujah. Praise God. So exciting. All right. So don't settle. Let's move along. Don't settle for curses, for torment, for sickness, for lack, for name the fill in the blank, right? For what's that word? The opposite of prosperity, like lack, deficiency, right? But rather yield to God and resist the devil. Yielding is a faith walk. It's a faith walk. You take one step at a time. When he says step, you take a step, just like Abraham did. When you look at Genesis, like the beginning of the story of Abraham, all through Genesis, at the beginning, you know, he wasn't very strong. But he stepped out and he yielded. He gave each yes to the Lord. And, you know, further on in the story, he was much stronger than when he had started. It was a progression, like our faith is a progression. Okay, so some other examples and instances that I want to talk about of yielding to the Holy Spirit. When, and if you've read chapter 7 in our tongues book, The Tongues Beyond the Upper Room by Kenneth E. Hagin that we're studying in our cell groups, chapter 7 talks about submitting yourself and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that gives you the utterance, right? And he's very clear in there about, because it's what the word says, that the Holy Spirit gives the utterance, and we do the talking, right? And so this comes from Acts 2, verse 4. The 20th century New Testament version. So the disciples were in the upper room, and they were told to wait, right? They began to speak, This is the verse. They began to speak with strange tongues as the Spirit prompted their utterances. And we have it in NLT, but I want you to just hear it again in this other version, because the language is just what we're talking about specifically. Prompted, you know, prompting is what we said, a description of yielding, right? Or being led. So they began to speak, the disciples, they began to speak with strange tongues as the who prompted them? The Spirit prompted their utterances. So the Holy Spirit gives the utterance or the prompt, and we must speak. We must speak it out. It's yielding to Him. We have a role. Sometimes we expect God to do things that are our part, just in general speaking, not just about tongues. And God do it all. God, I'm just waiting for God to move. And we've got to do our part. We've got to yield to Him. That's important, right? We can't expect God to do things that He's waiting for us to do. And sometimes we get stuck because, well, God's just got to do it. He's sovereign and He's in control. He's waiting for you to take the step, right? And so, like, in this case, somebody receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, especially for the first time, yielding to that and yielding your voice box as a member of instrument of righteousness, like we read in Romans 6, right? So, like, in chapter 7, Kenneth Hagin tells the story of a woman that was not able to receive tongues because she thought, she was mixed up, thinking that it was the Lord that would do the speaking. Well, how is that? She's the one with the voice box, right? Like, she's the one with the vocal cords. Like, and so, so he, you know, prayed for her and she didn't get it. And so then, remember the story, she's sitting out in her car with her friend and he goes over and he knew where she was getting hung up. And so he had her read Acts 2:4 and said, you know, who does the speaking? And she said, well, the Holy Spirit. No, read it again. And had her read it three times, right? And so he says on page 104, just as I told that woman, when you ask to receive the Holy Ghost and then sense the urge to speak words that are not your native language, you're not supposed to fight that urge. You're supposed to yield to the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit and begin to speak. So I like that example because we're talking about, you know, she was resisting that. She was resisting the wrong thing. She was fighting against it, like, you know, and he said to her, do you feel it right now? And she's like, yes. And he was like, let it go, you know. And then she just began, and she's out there in the parking lot having her own church service in her car with the Holy Spirit because she got it. She yielded to it. She yielded. And my experience with, you know, gifts, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and what I hear other people say, it's similar. As you yield, like, you have control over your body. You can stop it, or you can give way to it and yield. And so it's your choice. I remember Colleen Doyle, you know, I asked her about the prophetic gifting and seeing pictures and like giving words of knowledge to people or words of wisdom. And she grabbed the tissue box and she said, it's like this. When I don't know if she said the word yield, but basically we can put it in that context. Like when I yield and I do want, like I say the first thing that he shows me, and like, she took one tissue out. She says, there's the next one. It just pops up. Like once I yield and take one step, the next one comes and then it comes and then it comes and it's just flowing before you know it. Right? So that's it's a benefit of yielding. It's coming, it's flowing. So you have the choice to flow with it or to stop up the water, the living water that's inside of you. So flow, let it flow. Okay, another thing, another instance that would be important to yield and not resist would be when you receive, talking about prophetic words, when you receive a prophetic word. Now, that's if you want to yield to it, if you resonate in your spirit that this word is from God. You know, you don't need to believe and take and receive every single thing that every single person says over you, because maybe somebody says something to you and you're like, you have a check in your spirit about that. Like, that's not, I don't think that's from God. Like, that sounds off. Like, that's just weird, you know, prophelying. I think they're prophelying over me instead of prophesying, you know. And so you don't have to receive everything. But I'm talking about the case where you feel like, yes, I have peace. That's the Lord speaking that to me. Then you have a choice to yield to that word. And just like, remember Simeon, if that word, you know, is from God speaking about a destiny, then God's going to give you opportunities to walk toward that word. And you need to yield to those things because he's trying to get you to that destiny of what that word spoke over you. I'll give you an example of my life. I shared this yesterday. One of the first prophetic words that I remember receiving was in my church in Arizona when I was like freshly born again, brand new infant baby. Wah! And, you know, the fresh flesh was crying, let me tell you. And this minister came and he said, I see a mouthpiece. Maybe it looked something like this. I see a mouthpiece, like a microphone, like you're going to be speaking. Oh, I was kind of like in my heart, like, okay, I hate public speaking. I'm so afraid. Like, I was so insecure. I was so fearful. But wow, then you know, scene change. I'm in Argentina, and I start getting all these opportunities to speak. Oh, we want you to translate. Here's the mic. You're going to go up there, and you're going to translate. What? I'm going to do what? Now you're going to share your testimony. Here's the mic. Here's the mouthpiece. And I could have said each time, no, no, no. But I would have been resisting the wrong thing, right? I had to yield to it. I had a choice. Choose life each time. I mean, it wasn't a matter of sin, but it was just, hey, will you do this? Will you come out and translate? It was God opening a way, and my leader saw things in me that I didn't see in me. And so if I had resisted, I would have been fighting against what God wanted to do in my life, because all glory and honor to him, look at me now. It's not for me, it's for Jesus, right? And so if he speaks something over you that you don't see yet, then just walk your life with him and yield to each step, each, take it one day at a time, right? Like if he had told me, if that man had told me years, how many years ago was that, you know, that you'd be a pastor someday, oh my gosh. I mean, there's a reason why not many people, one time somebody said, you have pastoral gifting. One time. The Holy Spirit, I don't think, would release that over me because I was just, it would have been way too much for me at that time to handle. I would have run the other way, like, right? And so he's gentle and he's soft and he's, you know, and that was a 20-year process for me, and that's okay. But I'm here now, and I'm yielding, and there's more that I don't know yet that he has for me and each one of you, right? So yield to those prophetic words that you get, and choose life when God gives you an opportunity. Because just because somebody, you know, a man or woman of God speaks a word over you that God says, it doesn't mean that it's just going to drop out of nowhere. Like, at that time that word was given to me, I was so afraid. I didn't even like to pray, you know, like a pray for the meal in front of people. So all of a sudden, I'm not going to go from that to up here speaking. Like, it's going to be, you know, maybe progressive. So it's not just going to drop in your lap all of a sudden, like, boom, you get the thing. You gotta take the opportunities, right? Yield to those opportunities. Okay. You guys doing okay? I'm over time. All right, where are we at? This is another one. I'll try to make this short. This is when you get a prompting to speak to a person about Jesus or share the gospel, or you know that you're supposed to go up to somebody at the gas station and pray for them or something. Oh, man. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart, right? Proverbs 3 that Aaliyah, I think, mentioned. Somebody mentioned it earlier today. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. A lot of times, for me at least, I don't know if you guys can identify with this, like, Lord's like,
talk about Jesus. Go up to that person. Say something, you know, at work or something a lot of times. Like, tell that mom about Jesus or ask to pray for her or something. And it's like the flesh goes, no, you can't do it. The flesh starts screaming, right? You have to override those fleshly things, those fleshly feelings, that your logic, your own reasoning, your own understanding, your bana that we talked about in the obedience message. It's not about pleasing ourselves and making our flesh happy. It's about yielding to the Lord and being used as an instrument. If we really say that we want to be used as an instrument of righteousness for him, then get ready. He's going to give you opportunities, right? And you got to say, flesh, you die. You shut up. I'm not listening to you. You're not the one I obey. I obey the Spirit of the living God, right? And I'm going to go in that direction. Romans 15:1. We who are strong, that's us. We're the children of God, we're strong. It says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. That's the gospel message right there. It's not about me, myself, and I. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others to do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. Look at our model, Jesus. It wasn't about his will, his way, his flesh. Father, if there's any other way, take from me this cup, right? But I surrender myself to you. Have your will, have your way, Holy Spirit, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was crucified and died for us. Remember that? Yes. He gave over, he submitted, he yielded his flesh, right? So we must deny ourselves. So here's a story about, let me read this and then I'll tell you the story. Luke 9:23-24. Then he said to the crowd, this is Jesus talking, Luke 9, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. It's telling you flat out right there. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Wow. I think the cross is where, like, our desires and our needs and what we want meets what Jesus wants, right? And that's why I said, like, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's not about us pleasing ourselves. It's about no longer I live, but Christ lives in me, right? So here's a story. I may have shared this a time or two also. I heard from the Holy Spirit that I needed to confront a good friend of mine who we've been friends a long time, like since we were in first grade. And I had to confront her about her sin. And I'm like, no, God, no, that's not me. I ran from that until I was preparing a message. I was going to preach that weekend. And I don't know what I was preaching on, but God was like, how can you get up there and preach when you're and preach about this? I remember this. I was typing whatever I was typing. It was about yielding to God or whatever it was. And it was like, he's like, really? Are you following that? How are you going to get up and say that if you're not doing it? And I was like, oh, my flesh. So just know that, you know, the people that get up here and stand and present, we go through some things before and during and after, you know, so that we can say what we say and hopefully, you know, we're doing what we're saying. We're living what we preach, because God will confronts me on it, and he did. He's like, you're not going to get up there and say that if you're not going to do it, because I've been talking to you about saying this to your friend and you haven't done it. And I was like, okay. That wasn't such a gentle nudge. That was more of a... So he got firm with me that day. But anyways, so I had to get over myself, you guys, because I was so afraid of, like, what she was going to think and what the relationship and... you know what? You know how I got out of that? I started praying. Do you remember this, Santos?
Remember this day? He heard me. I started praying and I connected. The Holy Spirit just grabbed my heart. I started praying in the Spirit and I started weeping and crying for my friend because it was no longer about me and my fear. And I don't want to tell her because what she's going to think. The Spirit of God, just through praying in tongues, was like, you get out of the way because I have a message to give to your friend that I want her free. And she needs to ask forgiveness and blah, 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 you know, all these things. But you're just the messenger. So move out of the way because I want to do this. And so all through tongues, like, I just started weeping his heart of love for her, that his heart of deliverance for her. And so let's not be an obstacle. Let's not, you know, so if you're having a case of like trouble, like you're having this wrestling match, just pray in the Spirit. He'll work it out and you'll be sobbing and it'll be all right. And then you'll surrender and yield and it'll be good. And God will get his way. And so I called my friend and I was like, she's so funny. I was like dancing around it. And this is a little hard to say because this and that. And that. But actually, I skipped a part before I called her. I prayed and I started weeping and like crying in the Spirit. He came over because he was like, is she all right? What's happening over here? Like, she was working on her message on the computer. And next thing I know, I'm, with the Holy Spirit because he just arrested me with his heart for this friend. And so when I finished, it was like there was a release. And I was like, where's the phone? Like, I got to call her. There was this urgency that it wasn't about my fear anymore. I had moved out of the way. It was like his heart for her, like, just, I got to do this, and I got to do this right now. Like, I have to obey, because I moved my flesh out of the way so that I could yield to his purpose, right? To his will, to what he wanted to do. So I called her up, and I'm, like, dancing all around, and she's like, just tell me, Sarah, I trust you. And I was like, she made it really easy. She's like, tell me, yes, tell me, what do you have to say, you know? And so I said it, I was like, you know, but at that time it wasn't swallowing it anymore. It was just, you know, his heart for you. And she received that. She received that. Praise the Lord. So simply decide what you're going to yield, if you're going to yield to what the Lord is speaking to and nudging you about. Because once you align yourself to his heart and you decide and make that determination, it'll be easy to obey. Like, I was excited to call, pick up the phone and call her, because listen, God loves you. Listen, God wants you free, you know, that kind of a thing. So, all right, I'm going to land the plane, Pastor Harley, I'm landing the plane. So there's so much, you know, vying for our attention, luring us down paths that lead us to much less than God's best. So it's your choice. Choose life. What you're going to yield to. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, or sin and lust in the flesh and all these things, right? That's your decision. So remember, James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And one last verse, I'll just say this, he will not disappoint you. He will never fail you. He will not abandon you. He will be with you in the shaky yielding where you're like, this is hard. He's going to help you and he'll walk you through it step by step. And you'll look back and you go, wow, where have you taken me from, Lord? Remember this. We'll just close with this verse again. Luke 9:23. He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And I'm just a living testimony saying, give up your life for him. Yield to him at every chance you can because it's worth it. And he gets all the glory and the honor and the praise for that. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's trustworthy for you to yield. So let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you today for your word. It's knowing your word that sets us free. We thank you for freedom. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us so that we could choose life, we could choose life abundantly with you. I pray strength in yielding over each person in the name of Jesus, that you would help us, Father God, in those struggles, in the things where it's hard to yield to you. Help us, Holy Spirit. We want to choose life. We want to choose you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of truth. You'll help us. You'll lead us. You'll guide us. You're cheering us on because you're our advocate and our biggest fan. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that there's authority in your word and authority in your name, and you've given that authority to us that we can first submit to you, that we can resist the devil with that authority, and we can and declare the blood of Jesus is against the devil, and then he must flee. So I pray that just that strength of people taking up their authority in the name of Jesus, that they would rise up in that authority to resist their flesh, resist the devil and his schemes. In the name of Jesus, that they would stand in the evil day. And when they've done everything, to stand and resist and withstand what the enemy is trying to do. In the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the shalom peace of God. The blood of Jesus that paid a very high price to set us free. Thank you, Lord. And I lift up our brothers and sisters that are listening on social media today. I ask your blessing over them in the name of Jesus, that they are made a blessing so that they can be a blessing to others. Thank you, Lord, for strength, for health, for wisdom, for answers to questions that they hold in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for revelation, knowledge, and a spirit of wisdom and that revelation coming to their hearts and lives to strengthen them and give them victory this week in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.